Lesson 15, The Young Adult. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should 1. Understand God's perspective on important responsibilities and issues of the young adult years. 2. Be equipped to influence young adults to make wise decisions and obey God's instructions. Ezra, a motivated young man. When Ezra was a child, his parents taught him to work well. He was always happy when he had the chance to work and earn money. He was always ready to do any work that someone would hire him for. As a youth, he did yard work, delivered newspapers, and repaired bicycles. Ezra was interested in being a businessman, but knew that God was calling him to ministry. Ezra studied at a Bible institute. To pay his expenses at the institute, he did office cleaning, restaurant work, and yard work. When he graduated, he began ministry, but sometimes painted houses or did building renovations because his ministry did not support him completely. He always tried to make ministry responsibilities and personal development his priorities, rather than making profit his priority, even though he had a wife and children to support. Eventually, the time came that his ministry supported him completely. Maturity and character. Before continuing the lesson, read 1 Timothy 4:12 and Lamentations 3:27. 1 Timothy was written to a young adult who was responsible for overseeing several churches. From 1 Timothy 4:12, we see that God expects believing young adults to be models in their character and behavior. They should make it a priority to be established in Christian doctrines. They should demonstrate purity and selfless love in every interaction with others. Their behavior and speech should honor God and bring him glory. Believing young adults should live careful, purposeful lives. They should not misuse the strength God has given them during this stage of life. They should not waste opportunities for learning, developing skills, serving others, and taking on responsibilities. The years of adolescence and early adulthood should not be spent on selfish ambitions. They are prime years for growth and service. God can enable young believers to learn self-control so that they are fruitful for Him. Note: for more about this subject, see Lesson 12 of Spiritual Formation, available from Shepherd's Global Classroom. Work. Perspectives on work. In some cultures, it is common to see people sitting and not working much, even though they may be young and healthy. Though they have needs and they are responsible for others, they do not have motivation to work. They say they would work if they were employed at good wages. They are not willing to work for low wages, or do work that seems to be of low status. They are not willing to work to improve their environment if they will not profit personally. Sometimes people who are hired are excited to have a job. Maybe they live in a country where a large percentage of people are not able to find good employment. They enjoy wearing the company uniform and are proud of the status of their employment. But while they enjoy their status, they don't think much about how to serve the employer or serve customers. They are proud of being part of the company, but they don't realize why they were hired. In contrast to people who refuse to work, some people are too focused on careers or on earning money. Perhaps they move to a place where employment pays a much higher salary than their home area. They want to work and earn as much money as they can. They neglect other important parts of life, such as nurturing their relationships with God and their family. People in a society may do these things, but believers must not simply do what is normal in their culture. Instead, they must find out what God says and then obey Him. The Bible says much about work, diligence, and productivity. Note: for more about this subject, see Lesson 3 of Practical Christian Living, available from Shepherd's Global Classroom. The origin of work. God is creative, Psalm 104:24. God is productive, Psalm 104. God is always working, involved in individual people's lives and in the world affairs of all time, John 5:17. When God created people, He made them in His image, a reflection of Himself. He wanted people to be creative and productive managers of His creation. God gave humankind dominion over every animal of earth, sea, and sky, Genesis 1:26. He made people the managers and stewards of earth's resources, Genesis 1:28-30. Work is part of God's design for human life. From the start, God has given people great responsibility. We will each answer to him for whether we have faithfully done the work he has for us. Principles from Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was written especially for young people, teaching them to think and behave wisely. Proverbs has much to say about work. Proverbs 6:6-11. Proverbs 10:5. Ants are good examples for people. They work diligently even though there is no one forcing them to work. There is no one telling them what they should do or how they should do it, yet they are productive. From the ants, we learn that we should not have to be forced to work. We should want to work because that is how God provides for our needs. They work when it is time to work. There are times for work, and there are times for other activities and for rest. It can be helpful to ask, "What should I be doing right now?" They work while there is still an opportunity to work. Seasons change, and the opportunity to gain resources may pass. Our opportunities also come and go. We must use the opportunity we have now, or it will be wasted. They work so that they will later have the food they need. We should not sleep or relax when it is time to work. If we are lazy when we should be busy doing good work, our future needs will not be provided. We should work today to meet tomorrow's needs. Proverbs 19:15, Proverbs 20:4, Proverbs 12:24. God has set up the world in such a way that our choices have real consequences. Galatians 6:7. If we continually choose to be lazy with our bodies, we will become physically weak. If we continually choose to be lazy in our thoughts, our capacity for learning, thinking, and reasoning will decrease. If we refuse to work when we are able, God says we deserve to be without food. Read 2 Thessalonians 3 verses 6-12. If we are diligent, God will often reward us with increased opportunities and greater responsibility. God has set up the general consequences for our choices. We do not get to choose our consequences, but we do get to choose what we will do. Proverbs 14:23. Proverbs 20:6. Some people think they are very smart, but they refuse to work. They like to dream and talk about how things ought to be done, but they themselves are not doing anything. God wants us to actually work, not just talk about it. He wants us to take responsibility and be faithful to what we have said we will do. Proverbs 15:19. Sometimes people are lazy about how they do something. They choose an easy way, even if it will not have a good outcome. Maybe they are doing something less expensively, but what they are doing will not last over time. Maybe their method requires less effort, but the finished product will be poor quality. Maybe they are giving in to pressure from other people instead of being willing to work through challenges and do what is right. What examples can you think of where people are lazy in their method of doing something? This proverb teaches us that when we are lazy in how we do what we do, it will create problems for us and for other people later. But when we do what is right, we will be rewarded with a good outcome. We should be careful and thorough now, so that we can enjoy the best results later. What examples can you think of when laziness has led to difficulty and trouble later? What examples can you think of when faithfulness and diligence have had good results? Proverbs 12:11, Proverbs 21:20, Proverbs 28:19. Young adults, God has not given you the strength and health you have so that you can waste them on worthless pursuits. He has trusted you to be a good manager of your physical and mental abilities. He has given you opportunities to serve him. Being a faithful steward will require you to have self-control. You will not be able to fulfill every desire for pleasure. You will have to focus your energy, resources, and time to fulfill God's purposes. God expects you to provide for your own needs, the needs of your family, 1 Timothy 5:8, and the needs of those who are worthy of help and have no one else to provide for them. 1 Timothy 5:3-16. Ephesians 4:28. James 1:27. James 2:15-16. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 says, "Aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is God's will for believers. Something to think about. What kinds of work should believers be willing to do? Does status matter? If so, in what way or to what extent? We will build on the topic of work by discussing finances. We have just discussed the most important reasons God wants us to work, including provision of our needs and the needs of others. Work is God's usual way of providing for essential needs, food and clothing, 1 Timothy 6:8. In many places, people earn money by working, which they then spend on material provisions. In other places, people are paid with food, property or service instead of money. Either way, God is providing for people's needs through their labor. Finances. Many scripture passages address the topic of money. How we think about and deal with money greatly affects our relationships with God and with other people. Because it is so important, God wants us to have a right understanding of money and its use. Note, for more about this subject, see Lesson 9 of Practical Christian Living, available from Shepherd's Global Classroom. Principles from Proverbs. What is the source of our security? God is ultimately the provider of the righteous. Proverbs 10:3. We must not love and trust in riches because they are limited in power and temporary in duration. Proverbs 11:4-28. What thoughts, attitudes, and actions demonstrate trust in God as a person's provider and security? Many things are more important than being rich. For example, having good relationships with others. Proverbs 15:17. Having knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 8:10-11. Fearing God and being in right relationship with Him. Proverbs 15:16. Having honor because of good character. Proverbs 11:16. Being faithful, honest, and kind. Proverbs 19:22. Something to think about. Which of these is the most challenging to you because of your circumstances? Principles for rightly managing money. Earn money through diligent, faithful work. Proverbs 10:4. Patiently collect money over time. Proverbs 13:11. Honor God by giving Him the first part of your increase. Proverbs 3:9-10. Be generous to the poor. Proverbs 11:24-25. Proverbs 14:21. Proverbs 19:17. And Proverbs 21:13. Something to think about. Which of these do you tend to struggle with the most? Warnings against misuse of money. Never disobey God's word for a chance to get money. Proverbs 10:2. Proverbs 15:27. Do not make hasty or careless decisions. Proverbs 21:5. Do not promise to pay others' debts. Proverbs 6:1-5. Proverbs 17:18. Something to think about. Which of these principles from Proverbs are most neglected in your culture? Close friends, before continuing the lesson, read Proverbs 13:20 and 1 Corinthians 15:33. Close friendships are one of the strongest influences in the life of a young adult. People usually become close friends with those who share their values. But a friendship changes each person in the friendship, for better or for worse. Continuing to be close friends with someone over time will influence you, your perspectives, philosophies, priorities, behavior, choices, and character will be affected. Your closest friends will influence you with their example, but also with their approval or disapproval of your choices and with their persuasive words. Something to think about. Write down the names of 1 to 5 specific people in answer to each of these questions. Who do I usually look to for approval and affirmation? Who do I talk to about the problems in my life? Whose advice do I seek when I have a decision to make? Whose behavior is influencing mine? Whose philosophies do I share? Think about the people whose names you have written down. What is their character like? What is their behavior like? What is their speech like? If you follow their example, are you following Christ? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Are they people who are marked by these characteristics? They fear the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12-20. Psalm 112:1. They are being shaped by God's word. John 17:14-17. They make it their highest priority to please and obey the Lord in everything. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 9 to 10. Are they influencing you towards a close, obedient walk with God? Do they tell you what is true, what aligns with God's word? Or do they tell you what is easy to hear? Do they encourage you to do what you feel like doing? Or do they encourage you to do what is right in God's sight, even when it is difficult? There was once a young man who had influence. The other young people looked to him for approval of their behaviour. When they said something sarcastic or crude, they glanced at him to see if he was smiling. When they did something rebellious, they watched to see if he would wink his eye, showing his approval. They wanted to please him, but none of them stopped to consider these questions. Why do I want his approval? Is he a person I should be trying to please? Is his character and behaviour a good pattern for me? It takes effort to think about these issues. Believers ought to be purposeful in whom they choose as their closest friends and biggest influencers. Of course, God wants his people to influence others who are spiritually immature or who are yet unbelievers. But those people are not qualified to be our closest companions, advisors, and influencers. We should not be seeking their approval. Before continuing the lesson, read Psalm 101. This psalm was written by King David. He feared the Lord. He committed to the Lord that he would live a life of integrity. He knew that the people he allowed to influence him would either help him to fulfill that promise or would keep him from it. Because of this, he determined to choose only faithful, godly people to be his influencers. We are not kings as David was, and usually do not have the authority or responsibility to punish evildoers as David promised to do. Yet, we must follow David's example in other ways. We must commit ourselves to living lives of integrity. We must determine that we will only choose godly people as our closest friends and greatest influencers. Making decisions. Early adulthood is a time for making many decisions, some of which will have lifelong or even eternal consequences. Note, for more about this subject, see Lesson 5 of Practical Christian Living, available from Shepherd's Global Classroom. Following are a few of the questions we should keep in mind when considering our choices. Is this action consistent with who God wants me to become? Society tells us, be yourself, be true to yourself, follow your heart. But we are called to be true to Christ, not to ourselves. In fact, he tells us to say no to our own desires when they are in conflict with obedience to him. Matthew 16:24-26. God calls us to live by his standard of righteousness. He describes the people who will be blessed, those who fear and obey him in everything. Psalm 15, Psalm 112, Matthew 5:3-11. As we faithfully follow him, we become the people God wants us to be. How will this action affect my reputation? With every choice we make, we build our own reputation. Proverbs 20:11. It is true that we should care most about what God thinks of us. But when we are known as people of integrity, we influence others for right and become believable witnesses for Christ. Proverbs 22:1 tells us that we should prioritize having a good reputation over having material wealth. What consequences will follow this choice? Proverbs 22:3 shows us that we should prepare for the future by making good choices today. When we are thinking about our options, we must consider the likely outcomes of each. How will our choice affect our own lives and the lives of others? Proverbs 4:23 tells us that our choices and behaviours come from the motivations of our hearts. If we want to make good choices that please God, we must make sure that we are loyal to him. Deuteronomy 6:2 and 5-6, Deuteronomy 13 verse 4. Physical health. Young adults are responsible for personal choices, including those related to what they eat, their physical activity and exercise routines, and sleep habits. Self-control is important in all of these areas, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Believers should remember that their bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit and were redeemed by Christ's blood, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Because we are also servants of God, we should take care of our bodies and discipline ourselves to make good choices in each of these activities so that we will be at our best for him. Note, For more about this subject, see Lesson 13 of Practical Christian Living, available from Shepherd's Global Classroom. Before continuing the lesson, read 1 Corinthians 6:12 to 13 and 19-20 and 1 Corinthians 10:31. Think about your food choices and portions in the last week. Maybe you have had an abundance of food with many options for what you could eat. Maybe you have had little to eat with few options. Either way, your eating and drinking should glorify God. If it were possible for Jesus to be invited to sit and eat with you, would you choose the same foods and portions you normally choose? This may seem like a silly question, but perhaps it can serve as a reminder to be thoughtful, grateful, and self-controlled while eating. Sleep is another area in which believers must demonstrate self-control. We are not to be lazy and sleep too much, Proverbs 6:10 to 11, Proverbs 20:13. Yet God designed our bodies to need regular and sufficient rest, Psalm 3:5. Healthy adults usually need 6 to 8 hours of sleep each night. Ecclesiastes 5:12 tells us that sleep is a reward for those who work diligently. Proverbs 3:24 and Psalm 4:8 speak of sweet, peaceful sleep that God gives his children. This is the type of sleep that restores our bodies. With God's peace, we are freed from the worries and cares of the day, knowing that a faithful God is watching over us. Restful sleep invigorates the body and mind, preparing us for upcoming activities and ministry. Proverbs 3:24 is found within a portion of the book of Proverbs that includes instructions for living a life filled with wisdom, understanding, and discretion. If you want to have sweet sleep, you must make wise choices in other areas of your life, including the amount of time you spend watching television or movies, surfing the web or using a smartphone, and spending time with friends. Sleep can be affected by your food choices and portions throughout the day, the amount of exercise you have had, how you handled a difficult situation, or how you spent your money. Sleep can be sweet when our relationships with others have been filled with the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, listed in Galatians 5:22 to 23. Something to think about. Take time to read through the scriptures referenced in the section above. Evaluate your sleep by the principles found in these scriptures. Are you giving your body the rest it needs to function properly as God intended? Notice the context of the verses from Psalms. David is writing them in some very stressful situations, and yet he testifies to God's faithfulness in helping to restore his body through sleep. Dealing with stress. By God's design, the early adult years are filled with many responsibilities and cares that require attention and cause stress. Lamentations 3:27. A person may be trying to complete an education degree, start a business, and be working a job or several jobs. There are multiple relationships that need a young adult's intentional focus. Finances, transportation needs, and a home all need attention, but cause stress. Stress has been defined as the physical and emotional response to events that threaten or challenge us. Source: Robert S. Feldman, Discovering the Lifespan, 2nd ED, Upper Saddle River, NJ, Pearson, 2012, page 317. Think about how you view your circumstances. How do you mentally work through a situation that you are experiencing? When something is in your future, how do you think about it? What emotions do you allow yourself to feel about the possibilities? What perspective influences how you will deal with that situation? What is your general temperament and personality? Proverbs 15:15. Your perspective, temperament, and personality all affect how you respond to life situations and what level of stress you will experience. While stress is a normal part of life, how you handle stress is a personal matter. Anxiety sometimes causes headaches, muscle aches, sickness, high blood pressure, ulcers, and many other mental, emotional, and physical disabilities. Proverbs 12:25. A bad response to stress can greatly hinder your service to Christ. Because of this, it is not a surprise that God's word tells us not to worry or be anxious. Before continuing the lesson, read Matthew 6:34, 1 Peter 5:7. And Psalm 105, verse 4. When we are faced with overwhelming circumstances, we must choose to trust and depend on God, the only one who has no limitations. He is perfect in strength, wisdom, and goodness. He cares for his children perfectly. He wants us to realize our dependency on him, to bring him every concern, and to seek his strength. As we do, he can give us peace, rest, and all that we need. While in our youth, we must learn to maintain a stillness and quietness before God and wait for him to lead. Psalm 46:10. Lamentations 25-27. Something to think about. List the stressful situations you are experiencing now. What should be your response based on the Word of God? Something to think about. In this lesson, what ideas or principles were new to you? What other biblical principles have you thought of that relate to these areas of the young adult's life? How will your personal life be affected by what you have studied in this lesson? In your church, which of these topics most needs to be addressed among young adult believers? How can you influence the Christian young adults you know to think and behave biblically in these areas of life? Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word teaches us how to live for you in every stage of life. Thank you for preparing us to live fruitful and productive lives in our young adult years. Help us to glorify you by being faithful stewards of the strength, resources, and opportunities you give us. Help us to be godly influences on others and to choose godly friends and advisors. May we make wise decisions and honor you with our bodies, minds, and spirits. Amen.